You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello, everyone. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Welcome back to another jam-packed, rip-roaring episode of The Breadline Show, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 AM on your dial, or in all high-quality monophonic sound, or online at 3cr.org.au. Okay, something from the Australian Trade Union Institute records a brief history of the activism that led to the winning of the 8-hour day. Yes, this is May Day that we had over the weekend. Now, on the 21st of April in 1856, building workers in Melbourne took strike action and won the 8-hour day as a general industry standard. It was the first time in the world workers have won the 8-hour day across an industry with no reduction in pay. In the 1850s, large numbers of migrants came to Australia because of the immense wealth of the gold rush. Many of the stonemasons who came to Australia because of the boom in these years had previously been activists in the radical British workers' movement known as Chartism. They brought traditions of activism down under and helped found new workers' organisations like the Stonemasons Society. On this day in Melbourne, that'd be the 1st of May, stonemasons working on the law facility buildings at Melbourne University walked off the job to demand the 8-hour day across the entire industry with no reduction in pay. They marched through the city to join the Masons building the new Parliament House on Spring Street. Employers were aghast. How could profits be assured if workers toiled for less than 8 hours a day? But the stonemasons insisted that workers had a right to decent rest and some recreation. Our lives, they argued, should not be about the work we do. They didn't wait for anyone to give them this right. They got together, organised, and took action. They won it. It was an international benchmark in defining victory we have celebrated proudly ever since. So, yeah, there you have it. It's really a numbers game, isn't it? You know, there's a lot more of us compared to them. Okay, now there's a release from ACOS, the Australian Council of Social Service, and they're talking about homelessness, how there's just not enough housing for people. And when I walk around, I see a lot of people trying to take cover from the elements on shop fronts, on their porches and things like that. It just makes me feel sick to see so many people that can't get a place to live. It's incredible in a country like this. Anyway, Anglicare rental snapshot released today, or last week I think it was actually, again shows there are no affordable rentals for someone receiving JobSeeker or youth allowance nationwide. Of the 51,238 rentals listing Anglicare reviewed, just 3 rooms in share houses were affordable for someone receiving the $56 a day JobSeeker payment and the maximum rate of rent assistance. None were affordable for someone receiving youth allowance, which is just $48 a day. Only 0.1% listings nationwide were affordable for a single parent with one child under 5 years of age. This is another damning report that shows how inadequate Social Security payments like JobSeeker are and how it exacerbates the housing crisis, said ACOS CEO Dr. Cassandra Goldie. She goes on to say, if you receive JobSeeker or another Social Security payment, the data shows you have virtually no chance of avoiding housing stress if you need to rent in the private market. People end up going without food, medication and essential health care to try and keep a roof over their head. The most important thing the next federal government should do to reduce the deep financial stress experienced by more than 1.5 million people in Australia is to raise the rate of Social Security payments like JobSeeker so that they meet basic needs. This should be the first priority of all candidates concerned about cost of living in this election. With just days to go, we call on all candidates to support Raise the Rate and commit to lifting JobSeeker, youth allowance, parenting payment and related income support payments to at least $82 a day so that people have a chance of keeping a roof over their heads and without going hungry as well. Now, this is what Rahu has to say about it, Renters and Housing Union. On the weekend, that was a couple of weeks ago, I think, actually no date on this, but anyway, just past the Australian Labor Party unveiled their signature housing policy for the upcoming election. Yeah, so this was before voting. If public opinion polls hold true, the policy will be the housing policy of the next government of Australia. Once again, the Australian Labor Party has proven it is only interested in the short-term and unsuitable support of homeowners in Australia and not the renters and the property market in the next few years.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
The proposed policy consists of two main components: a new wave of subsidised homes, homes exclusively for first home buyers, a government-backed guarantee on housing deposits. Both are designed purely with the owners in mind. Despite being the most vulnerable in Australia, renters are not even mentioned in the housing policy, despite being the group most disproportionately affected by the housing crisis. The federal government has repeatedly told us that they can't work with states on rent controls, but they can on house building schemes for homeowners. The first proposed scheme, a government guarantee of 15% of home deposits, means that first home buyers will only need a 5% deposit. This scheme serves solely the interests of homeowners, investors, and those who already have the financial means to participate. By lowering the deposit requirement, the demand for housing in Australia is set to skyrocket. While this may provide a boost for current homeowners and investors, the resultant increase in prices will lead to higher rents and further inflate the already unsustainable housing market. Vulnerable individuals, those just able to scrape together the 5% deposit, will find themselves ensnared in loans and mortgage repayments they can barely afford. Well, that stands to reason, doesn't it? The smaller the deposit you pay, the bigger the mortgage repayments are going to be. Okay. Such a deposit scheme caters exclusively to middle and upper earning homeowners in Australia, condemning the vulnerable renters to spiralling increases in housing costs. This proposal only further incentivises real estate speculation, with both homeowners and government seeking to benefit from speculative future property prices. The second component involves a second investment in housing, specifically aimed at first home buyers. This initiative is projected to cost tens of billions of dollars, yet only those who qualify as first home buyers will gain access to any housing constructed under it. Consequently, this policy mostly benefits those already able to afford housing, siphoning valuable resources and labour away from addressing the urgent need for rental supply. This, along with the net falls in public housing stock across the country, is pushing more and more renters into untenable positions. It starkly showcases a prioritisation of homeowners at the expense of renters. These policies epitomise the Labor Party's ongoing commitment to an unsustainable housing market. When the property market inevitably collapses, the inadequate preparedness of our government will have consequences for millions of Australians. This election cycle paints a sobering picture. The ruling parties, whether Coalition or Labor, remain utterly indifferent and apathetic about the plight of the renter. Renters have been getting the short end of the stick for far too long. It's time they stop begging and start demanding. Rahu empowers them to do that. So the Renters and Housing Union denounces these policies as inadequate, emphasise these policies purely designed to benefit owners and investors at cost of renters, calls for the government and parties to develop policies actually able to help renters in this country. This includes Rahu proposed policies such as longer leases, stronger renters' rights and rent increases tied to minimum wage. Calls for the government to actually invest, build and maintain public housing at a federal level and pick up where state governments have been utterly inadequate. So, yeah, it should be the same all over Australia. Now, quotes attributable to Rahu Public Policy Officer William Van Den Wall Blake. The ruling party of the day has once again reaffirmed itself to an unsustainable housing market. This house of cards is unsustainable, and when it does collapse, millions of Australians will suffer. More subsidies for owners won't fix the housing crisis. We know this. This is only for the benefit of the homeowners. The same money that these subsidies are being spent on would be far better off spent on real public housing investment. This would provide far more relief and help to the majority of people in Australia, homeowners and renters alike. This policy represents a help for homeowners and investors in Australia. Renters be damned. Yeah, good on you, William. All right, and this quote is from Alex Johan, also a member of Rahu. This is just another example of neoliberal Labor throwing renters to the walls, like keeping the never-ending cycle of housing as an investment. Labor is saying to renters that if you don't have 5% now, then you will be at the mercy of whatever rent increases comes your way. So, there you have it.
If you're a renter with problems such as repairs, getting your bond back, negotiating a rent hike, or facing eviction, it helps to know your rights. For free information and advice on renting, you can visit Tenants Victoria at www.tenants.vic.org.au, Arnica Legal at www.anikalegal.com, or contact your nearest community legal centre. The government is planning to demolish and redevelop high-rise public housing towers in Melbourne. If you're living in a public housing tower and need free legal advice about your options, find your nearest community legal centre at www.fclc.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Okay, well, a bit more info on this May Day we had over the weekend. In 1892, a public celebration was held at the Yarra Bank in Melbourne to mark May Day. The meeting was chaired by well-known Melbourne anarchist Chummy Fleming. Yeah, his name pops up a lot. The meeting was preceded by a march which began at the Burke and Wills Monument, which was led by men carrying two huge red flags. In 1893, Chummy Fleming called a meeting of radical delegates from across Melbourne to organise future May Day celebrations. Chummy Fleming was involved in every May Day celebration in Melbourne until his death in 1950. His ashes were scattered on the Yarra Bank on May Day the following year. Chummy Place in Carlton still bears his name. Well, that's downright nice of him to do that for him. I do see his name pop up a lot, and he did a hell of a lot for people's rights. So, and something about the history of May Day, both internationally and in Australia, is interlinked with the history of anarchist movement. Yeah, I'm just trying to kill a bit of time here. So I'm reading the back of a poster. You know, I don't know how come on. Look, when I was young, I was always the quiet student. The one I always sat at the back, nothing much to say. So what do I end up doing? Hosting a radio show. Unbelievable. Anyway, that's all we've basically got time for now. So I think we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, we'll be back again next week, the same time. My name is Daryl. You have been listening to Breadline, brought to you by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union here on 3CR Community Radio, 855 on the AM dial or online at 3cr.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.